Why is the cross such a powerful thing? Because at the cross, Jesus shed his blood. God says, when I see the blood, even though there's an innocent lamb, the guilty parties, the people guilty of death, judgment of death in the house. But God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I won't even allow the disease to come in to destroy you. Because of what? The blood. What does the blood of Jesus speak of? Forgiveness. Forgiveness on all the perpetrators. Forgiveness on all those who are behind his death. And not only that, forgiveness on all who have sinned against my Father. Not just forgiveness, protection, protection, protection is in the blood of Jesus. If you build your house on the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, you remain unshaken. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Because you have made the Lord, who is the Most High, even my refuge, the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen. We are living in those days. There's danger all around. The days that Paul prophesied about, in the last days, perilous times will come. People are afraid to fly. They are afraid to travel. They're afraid. They're afraid of even where they are staying. Fear has come on the world. But you, child of God, you are not of the world. You are covered.
In today's message, Joseph Prince shares a powerful promise of the Lord's protection and how you can live fearlessly and protected in dangerous times. If you are experiencing fear or worry about the safety of yourself or your loved ones, we want to send you Joseph's book, The Prayer of Protection, to encourage and strengthen your heart. Request your copy for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website today. And now, here is Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
You know how I know your family will be blessed? Because of the cross. The cross is an established fact in divine history. Amen. As far as God is concerned, because of the cross, you'll be blessed. But I'm not perfect. You'll be blessed because of the cross. Pastor, I'm still not there altogether. You'll be freed. You'll see the goodness of God in the land of the living because of the cross. Your whole family will be saved because of the cross. Now, if you look at the cross of Jesus Christ, it talks about the entire family being saved. God's heart is not just for you to be saved. Probably you have a husband that's astray right now, wayward. And you're thinking, but Pastor, he received Christ, but now he's just going crazy. Because of the cross, God will turn things around. If you don't give up. I have a son, a teenager. He used to love Jesus. You know, he would sing me Christmas songs, and he would just love, you know, he loved going to church, loved going to, we call it Rock Kids, Sunday school and all that. But now his heart has changed. He's gone on with bad friends and all that, bad company. Pastor, what shall I do? I got a message for you. God's message, you and your house. Are you listening? And I love the way in the book of Exodus, when God first introduced the Passover, God says at midnight. Midnight is the darkest time. One of the darkest time is midnight. God says at midnight, the destroyer, I'll go through the land, the destroyer. And God says, when I see the blood on your door, I'll pass over you. Show them that verse. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Say Passover. See, God doesn't see your good works and then pass over you. When I see the blood. Blood always represents the life of the, Leviticus 17 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The doctors to examine what kind of condition you're suffering from or whatever disease you have, you go for a blood test. The blood work will tell the doctor what disease you're suffering from. Your blood will speak about your life. So God, long time ago, God says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17. And here God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not only that, God says, and the plague, the disease, shall not be on you to destroy you. The plague will not be on you to destroy you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Why is the cross such a powerful thing? Because at the cross, Jesus shed his blood. God says, when I see the blood, even though there's an innocent lamb, the guilty parties, the people guilty of death, judgment of death in the house. But God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I won't even allow the disease to come in to destroy you. Because of what? The blood. Who sees the blood? Is it for the world to see the blood? No. Is it for us to see the blood? Is the blood put inside the house? No. Is it for me to estimate the blood? No. It's for God to see the blood. When I see the blood, I just need to put faith that God sees the blood. And what blood? What better blood than the blood of Jesus? First thing we need to know about blood is that there's a voice in the blood. Based on the law of first mention of Bible interpretation, the first time blood is mentioned was Cain murdering his brother, killing his brother Abel. When Abel died, God said to Cain, "What is this that you have done? The voice," say the voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. So the first thing, first mention of blood in the Bible tells us blood has a voice. Even today, DNA, forensic science tells you it can actually indict a murderer that's long gone, maybe another country, just by your blood. Amen? Blood has a voice. And then Hebrews 12, verse 24. Hallelujah. I love this verse. The blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Obviously, the blood of Abel cries out from the ground. Even though Abel is dead, his blood is not. The blood cries out, vengeance, vengeance on the perpetrator. Vengeance, vengeance. Blood of Jesus speaks better things. What does the blood of Jesus speak of? Forgiveness. Forgiveness on all the perpetrators. Forgiveness on all those who are behind his death. And not only that, forgiveness on all who have sinned against my Father. Not just forgiveness, protection, protection, protection is in the blood of Jesus. Today, it seems like blood is no more mentioned, the blood of Jesus no more emphasized the way it should. I learned this many, many years ago, that there's protection. When I see the blood, God says, I will not allow the plague to come in. I will not allow the destroyer to come in, another verse. And I will not allow the plague to destroy you. Why is it that we cover someone with the blood of Jesus, even if the person is not a believer or the family is not? Why is it there's such power? Because the blood speaks to the enemy. The plague shall not be on you to destroy you. Amen. Can I have a good amen? When Jessica was born, I think she was about four or five years old. At that time, we moved somewhat during that time, quite a few times. And one of the places we stayed, we rented a place. It was out there near the forest and all that. It was just a simple house, but we are grateful to have it. And you know, we lived down there for a while, in between the place that we would be getting. So Jessica was about 4 years old at that time. So she has a room to herself, and I remember one day when I went to her room, I heard sounds of buzzing, bzz, like flies, you know. So I thought it was just flies outside. Went back again another time, it was buzzing. Then I realized there were flies, bees trying to get into her room. And another time when the door was slightly ajar, all right, the bees came in. And she was at that time in school. And I began to realize she was in kindergarten at the time. And I realized all of a sudden, oh my goodness, you know, it's an infestation. I do not know how, you know. And we got the people to come to, you know, the pest control and all that. But still, the buzzing went on. We do not know where it came, probably a roof somewhere. So I went to her window where most of the sound came from. I literally did this. I took the oil, but I also said this. I covered this place with the blood of Jesus. And I drew a line. I covered this place with the blood of Jesus. Now, that's like, when I see the blood shall be a sign on the houses, right? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I won't allow the destroyer to come in. In another place, he says that. Okay? So I plead the blood of Jesus over her room, and I just went on doing my business. The next day, I heard her screaming, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy," you know? So we rush up there, see what happened. And she was pointing to us. She didn't know what I did. Even Wendy didn't know what I did. I did it on my own. She pointed to the balcony area where I drew the line, and literally, people, God is my witness, one after another were beasts, dead beasts. It's almost like a line. They cannot cross the bloodline. Literally cannot cross the bloodline. There's something about the blood of Jesus that, number one, we know it remits our sins. But number two, because of the blood, when I see the blood, I will not allow the plague to destroy you. And there's a plague that's in the world today. There's a plague in the world today. Rahab in the city of Jericho would suffer the same fate as Jericho in a matter of days. But because she had faith in God, and not only faith in God, her faith was demonstrated like this. and spare my father, my mother. She said to them, spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Deliver our lives from death. Not only is she interested in being delivered from death, she wants her father, mother, sisters, brothers, all that she have to be saved. What about you? God's heart is for you and your families to be saved. Are you listening? And even in the book of Acts 16, Paul jumped up after God sent an earthquake to open up the prison doors, and the keeper of the prison was about to kill himself because if all the prisoners escape, all right, he'll be sentenced to death because of it happened on his watch. He was about to kill himself, and Paul shouted, stop! We're all here. Do yourself no harm. And he says, what must I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. And you shall be saved and your house. God's heart is always for the entire house. God told them on the night of the Passover, take a lamb for the house. Look at, show them again. Lamb, a lamb for a household. Verse 3, the last part. He said, a lamb for a household. I love verse 4. It says, if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it. It's always the house is too small for the lamb. No matter how big the family is, 50 people, yet the house is, it's never the lamb is too small for the house. It's always the house is too small for the lamb. What lamb do you think God is talking about? That the house is always smaller than the lamb. It's never the lamb is smaller. God's provision is always greater than the sin. Grace greater than all our sins. Hallelujah. So she said this, save my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. Drop down. So the man answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly, hased, and truly amet with you. Now, why is this important? Because in the Hebrew, the way it is said is chased ve'amet. Now, this is very important because if you read the New Testament that the believers, the Jewish believers today in Israel, they read from, in John chapter 1, it says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew, it reads like this. The law, the Torah was given by Moses, but chesed, grace, chesed ve, means n, chesed ve amet, came by Jesus Christ. So here we have chesed ve amet. The Lord, we will deal with you in grace and truth. And so she lowered them down, dropped down. She let them down by a rope through the window. Now they came through the door. The door faces the city. But she let them down the window because the window is on the outside. The window is actually facing the wall. I mean, it's on the wall and it's way, what a drop, you know. It's quite a long drop because it's going out of the city. Now, here is a beautiful lesson for us to learn. The New Testament mentions Rahab three times. One in the ancestry of Jesus Christ, Matthew 1. And then we have Rahab as an example of faith in Hebrews 11. And then a picture of faith and works in James. But in Hebrews, it talks about her receiving the spice, that is through the door. We are all justified by faith. There's the door. But then the Bible says in James now, justification by works in front of men. Before God, we are never justified by works. But before man, men only judge you by your works. Her works were sin when she let down the spice through the window. Not send them back through the door, back into the wicked city of Jericho. She let them through the wall, a window. The window always speaks of perspective, outlook. When you look out the window, what do you see? You look away from the city. When you look at the window, you look away from, your back is turned to the city. The city, how to live in the world, but not of the world. Heaven, heavenly outlook. When she looked out the window, she saw the Ark of the Covenant. She saw the 12 tribes camp out there. She saw Joshua and all the prophets, and she saw the priests. She saw the glory cloud, the pillar of cloud. She saw God's presence, Shekinah glory. But down here, moral morass, terrible darkness. There, such brightness and glory. And I'm telling you, church, this speaks of the two comings, two advents of our Lord. Number one, when the Lord first came to earth, he came lowly, sitting on a donkey, meek and lowly. He lived as a carpenter. Amen. Though he was born into the stock of the royal family. His ancestry go all the way to Solomon and David. Yet he came humble. That's the first coming of our Lord. Maybe his very humility caused them not to see the triumphant king. So Israel rejected him. Amen. He died for our sins on the cross. By the foreknowledge of God, it was meant for him to die for our sins. So he died. That's the first coming of our Lord. That's the door. But remember, she hid the spies in her roof when the soldiers came. So it seems like in the first coming of Jesus, it seems like Jesus didn't conquer the earth. He came first to conquer our hearts. And he conquered it by love. He won us by love. Amen. So he didn't come to establish his kingdom straight away. It didn't happen in the first coming. But in the first coming, you find that just like the two spies, they were hiding from the people of the world. And there are countries where Christians meet in secret. They don't tell the location of where they meet. There are people who dare not say they are Christians in some countries in the world. It seems like we are still in the world where, you know, we don't see Christianity in the mainstream. We don't see Jesus' name being proclaimed except in blasphemy. We see that the world, it seems as if the world is triumphing. But no, this is only the picture of the two spies hiding. But there's another coming. The spies will come in again. And this time when they come in triumphant. No more hiding. They come in with the Ark of the Covenant. This is Jesus, his presence. They come in with Joshua, whose name in Hebrew means Jesus. And then they come with trumpet. The trumpet will sound. Amen. And when Jesus comes again, this time, he's not going to come sitting on a donkey. He comes on a white horse, the Bible tells us. And the same head that wore the crown of thorns for our sins, amen, will be wearing a royal diadem crown with many crowns. Go, hallelujah. And across him is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, written. And some people who love tattoos and all, they say that, yeah, it was tattooed on his thigh. It doesn't say tattooed on his thigh. It was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not a subject I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact he's coming back in glory. In power. And there's something about this earth, people, that prayer changes things. You have to pray. Amen. You know, it's like I have a message where, you know, it's on YouTube in one of the most watched videos about why pray. Why, if God is all-knowing, why pray? I'm not going to take time for that. Okay, just know that it's a fallen earth we're living in. Amen. So our connection, the way God influences the earth is to have people who are covenant people praying and God comes in on legal ground. So, we have to pray. Sometimes we get very, you know, what do you call it? Mundane and just taking things for granted about our protection. So back to this again. And she let them down because she dwelt on the wall. You see, she lived on the wall. All right, let's keep verse 16 because he's just telling them to stay at the mountain there. The man said to her, we'll be blameless of this oath of yours, which you made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. In other words, bring them into the, when we come in to judge the land, when we come in, all right, make sure your family is all behind the blood. Why? Scarlet rope. Scarlet is red. Red rope, hallelujah. And you know what? The word line, the line of scarlet cord, the word line in the Hebrew is the word tikva. And the word tikva is not just rope. It is the word hope. And that's why Israel's national anthem, ours is Majula, theirs is Hatikva. You can ask any Jewish person to say Hatikva. Ha is definite article, the. Hatikva, the hope. But tikva is also rope. You can call this the rope of hope. And it's red. It is red. Red, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We remember in another instance, the night of the Passover I just alluded to just now. I alluded to that when God says, put the blood on the doorpost, making the cross. Here in Egypt, it was the door. Here is the window. The red rope. Picture of the blood of Jesus. And the man said to her, when we come into the land, you bind this line. You make sure that we can see it, the red rope. Amen. The blood is on her house. How do you get your father, mother, brother, sisters all saved? Amen. Pray the blood covers them. Speak the blood over them. Amen. And they will be saved. It's not automatic. They need to believe, yes. They need to come behind the blood. but they'll be saved. So the blood wasn't at the door facing the condemned city. The blood was in the window facing the people of God. It's for God's view. When Joshua is ready, Joshua says to the man, are you ready? They conquered Jericho without firing a shot. On the very day itself, seven times they went around the city. On the seventh day, Joshua shouted, shout! For the Lord has given us the city. And the Bible says, and not only that, the next line says, and spare Rahab, Joshua said, and her household. So they shouted, and the Bible says, the walls came down. Today, when you visit Jericho, the walls are fallen. And the walls fell towards the people of God. It was very high elevation. So making a ramp for them to run up. Amazing, isn't it? It fell not inwards, outwards. Now, you can say that the scarlet rope helped the people to identify her house. But if the walls fell, her house fall, right? The amazing thing, God is involved. The walls fell. One part of the wall that I have seen in a Sapir photo, all right, an old photo of Jericho, one part of the wall stood firm. Guess whose? Rahab's wall. Rahab's house stood firm. The rest all fell. Her stood firm. I'm telling you, when everything else is crumbling and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, if you build your house on the word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, you remain unshaken. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Amen. Only with your eyes you'll behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is the Most High, even my refuge, the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen. Let me close with this. Was it just mere salvation for Rahab and the family? And all finally, they joined the family of Israel. They are Gentiles, right? They have to learn how to worship God's way. They have to learn how to live God's lifestyle, amen, among the people, right? Is it just when God saves you, when God manifests his grace to you, is it just to merely cause you to be saved? No, friend, this prostitute of Jericho, more than one time when the Bible introduces her, it says Rahab the harlot. She became the great, great grandmother of David the king and the ancestral mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why her name is mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1. Amen. I don't care how old your children are. I don't care if your husband or your wife has gone astray. God wants your entire family saved, not only for eternity, but for time. I've given you one weapon, the blood of Jesus. And I pray for you that the blood of Jesus that speaks better things will cover your entire family, your wife, your husband, your children, that you and your household will enjoy the free favors of God.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. In Joseph's book, The Prayer of Protection, learn about God's promise in Psalm 91 to protect you and your loved ones in the midst of the dangerous times we live in. Request your copy for a gift of any amount to the ministry today. When you request a resource, your giving powers our broadcast and outreach initiatives to reach more people with the gospel of grace. For a gift of $75 or more, you'll receive an additional teaching series and a companion devotional to further strengthen your faith. Be anchored in God's love and his powerful promise of protection over your life. Call or text the number on your screen or visit our website to request your copy today. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Father in heaven, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you for every family represented here, Lord. Be it the loved one has gone astray. Be it the loved one has never heard the name of Jesus being proclaimed in such a way as to be born again. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, because that person is here today, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus be applied, be sprinkled upon every person under the sound of my voice, upon their loved ones, those who are in the house and outside the house, I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of them in the name of Jesus. And throughout this week, I cover you with the precious blood of Jesus and all that you have in the name of Jesus. No evil will befall you. And God will see to it that no plague comes in to destroy you, you and yours, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And grant to us, Lord, your chesed wisdom to know how to parent our children, Lord, God's way, in the ways of the kingdom and not in the ways of Jericho. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you again. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you for watching today's program. If you are new to the Gospel of Grace, Pastor Joseph Prince would like to send you a copy of his book, Destined to Reign, to help you get started. It's yours absolutely free just by contacting us today. Offer is available to U.S. residents while stocks last. Just pay shipping and handling.
Before we go, I just want to appreciate the people who make this possible. Grace Legacy Builders. It is your generosity and support that allows us to continue sending the gospel of grace all around the world for free. Because of your giving, people are experiencing freedom from years of wrong believing. I want you to know that you have personally made a real difference in the lives of so many. God bless you and your family.
You can make a real difference by becoming a Grace Legacy Builder today. Together, we can reach more people with the life-changing gospel of grace. Call 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org to get started.
Introducing Grace Academy.
Welcome to Grace Academy. Grace Academy has been on my heart for a long time. If you've ever had questions about how to walk in grace or what it means to live by grace, this is the place where you'll find answers on how to live a life that's anchored on our Lord Jesus.
Featuring brand new content from Joseph Prince, Grace Academy is a digital pastoring experience designed to help you through some of life's toughest moments. Participate in activities that will help you apply the Word of God to your daily life. Discover resources that will help deepen your understanding of the Lord's love and heart for you.
I pray these resources will inspire and equip you to live confidently every day. Enjoy and be blessed.
Get free access today. Text GA to 71239 or visit josephprince.org/GA.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.